We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The open to J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Now, Bach put a lot of scripture to music, some beautiful music, music that has endured not only in the life of the church, but even outside the life of the church, beyond his musical genius. Is he just retelling the story, the basic facts, because it's a compelling story, as anyone would retell a story for an opera, so to speak? Or is there more at work in Bach's work, and in particular his Christmas Oratorio, than just a narrative retelling of the Christmas facts? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this December the 26th, the day after Christmas, we are going to spend this hour discussing Bach's Christmas Oratorio. And then we'll study the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Joining us to talk about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio, cantor Kevin Hildebrand. He's associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cantor Hildebrand, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Is Bach simply telling the story over again, just a narrative retelling, or is there more going on in his Christmas Oratorio than that?
Well, of course. With Bach's music, there's always more than just simply telling the story. It's replete with theological insights and wisdom and musical commentary on that theology. Very much like any of his cantatas, or when you look at some of his larger works like the large passion settings, the strict scripture text is only a portion, and I say only, with all the richness that the scripture text itself has. But then, for instance, a soloist sings part of that Christmas story, then we reflect on that through hymns and certain selected stanzas of Christmas chorales that are familiar to the hearers, as well as musical settings of theological poetry, which sort of set up more of a reflection and a commentary on that text. And there's many things to unpack in that entire composition.
Give us just the briefest of bios of J.S. Bach.
Sure. I like to say, especially to my students here at the seminary, that Bach, I think, is the most famous Lutheran in the world. Even people who aren't familiar yet with Martin Luther and his life and work, Johann Sebastian Bach is world renowned, and I think a lot of folks, sometimes even our own Lutherans, don't realize he was one of us. He was a confessional Lutheran, and he grew up in a time and an environment rich in music. He was born in 1685 and had a very interesting childhood. He was orphaned at the age of 10, went to live with his older brother, went to school in northern Germany where music at that time, of course, was part of the core curriculum. And if you were a member of the Bach family, that was part of your, the family business was to be a musician, especially a church musician. After some short stints as organist in a couple cities in Germany, he sort of had three main jobs following that. First, he served in the city of Weimar as sort of the chapel and court musician to the Duke of Weimar. We need to think about sort of the political realm of what was Germany at that time with rulers and sort of royal employ that we don't have in our day and age. And then for a short period, he also served in a prince's court, in the Prince of Köthen, Germany, as his court musician, providing music for all the royal affairs. But then the majority of Bach's career, he spent in the city of Leipzig from 1723 to the end of his life as cantor for the city of Leipzig, where he oversaw the music of really all the churches in the city. Especially they're the two primary churches where most of his church cantatas were composed for and presented. And that's where the Christmas oratorio had its genesis.
So that kind of takes us to the context question. Yep. Into what context is he composing this oratorio?
Yeah, I like to look at the oratorio as the way Bach constructed it. It's really not so much a cover to cover masterpiece like we think of, for instance, Handel's Messiah. You know, we hear that a lot this time of year in concerts, and that piece is sort of constructed as this cover to cover work, and it goes through various aspects of the life of Christ in Handel's work. But Bach's Christmas oratorio is really sort of a six-part series of cantatas. In this sort of larger scheme of a work, Bach wrote a cantata for every day of Christmas and the festivals and the days of Christmas following the Christmas Day. And these are the six sort of categories of that. It's for Christmas Day itself, and then they had church on the second day of Christmas, and the third day of Christmas there in Leipzig. And then the fourth section would be for New Year's Day, which in, liturgically is the circumcision of our Lord. And then the fifth part is the Sunday after New Year. And then the sixth and final part of what we call the oratorio is for the day of Epiphany. And so rather than in its original context, it wasn't heard from cover to cover in one sitting, but like Bach's other cantatas, these were part of the, it's sort of like another proper of the day in Bach's churches in Leipzig. The cantata served as, you know, just as the scripture readings and the hymns, you know, all have their, we have their proper assignments for the days and festivals of the church year. The cantata for J.S. Bach and his churches served as sort of like another liturgical proper based on the scripture readings and drawing theological insights out from them through the hymns and poetry he used.
The first selection that we're going to hear and get your comment on is one of the chorales, How Shall I Receive You? What should we be listening for here?
Yeah, this comes right near the beginning of the first section of the oratorio. So this would be the music for Christmas Day itself. And we've heard the narrator, the evangelist, sing the first few verses of the Christmas story from Luke 2, and there has been an aria sort of reflecting on that. And then Bach gives us this chorale. It's the Paul Gerhardt text, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You, that we sing often in Advent. But instead of using the tune that we sing it to in church or that Bach's congregation would have typically sung it to, Bach sets it to the same tune as O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And I find this is just a magnificent theological and musical statement. Here we are. It's Christmas morning. I doubt that many of us are hearing the melody of O Sacred Head Now Wounded in any of our churches on Christmas Day, unless you're hearing part of this oratorio. But what a great a theological statement Bach is making musically, that here, in the midst of starting to tell the Christmas story, that it is centered on the cross. And when we hear that tune, we know that's tied to Good Friday. We hear the cross. We know that is what that chorale tune is associated with. And so likewise here already on Christmas, we know this is what the Christ child is here for us to live and to die.
It's one of the chorales from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. We're talking about that Christmas Oratorio. On this December 26th, cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest, associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
With a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying...
Tired of the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry and ecclesiastical supervisors doing nothing about it? Register today at acelc.net for our next conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Don't just rant about it. Find out what you can do at acelc.net.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. We're looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th. Cantor, when we hear these chorales, can you just explain to me briefly how these hymns, I mean, that's what they are really, how these hymns function in not just the Christmas oratorio, but a lot of Bach's works?
Sure. Well, a good definition of a hymn is that it's a sung confession of the faith. And that's how Bach uses them in the cantatas. That's how they function in the divine service. That's the congregation that heard them in the churches in Leipzig would have been familiar with them. And likewise, that when our congregations hear hymns and chorales that they're familiar with, it brings that to mind, and the theology that's connected to the hymn that they either hear, you know, a choir singing or instruments playing, or if they sing themselves, you know, as part of, you know, the hymn of the day or other hymns within in the service, as sort of an air of this richness of Lutheran music that flourished in Bach's day, and particularly in the city of Leipzig in these churches. It was just a natural component to include these rich hymns of the Reformation that were a regular part of churchly life for Bach and his family and for the Christian community in Leipzig, just as it is for our congregation, that he'd use those in his cantatas to continue that proclamation.
The next one we're going to hear is Ah, My Darling Baby Jesus. What's the chorale here, and what is Bach doing with it?
Yeah, that's kind of a real literal translation of it's Luther's hymn, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, and this is the stanza which many people even know by memory in the translation. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. And this is the closing chorale of the part of the Christmas oratorio for Christmas Day itself. Like many of Bach's cantatas, they typically close with the choir singing a harmonization of a chorale, usually one of the chief hymns of that day. And so Bach closes this cantata for Christmas Day with this stanza of From Heaven Above, using the text, the Ah, Dearest Jesus, Holy Child. And a musical and theological thing that Bach does with that is, you know, when we sing this text, it is, rightly so, kind of a reflective prayer, what this text is. You know, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber. However, Bach does something very interesting musically here. After the choir sings one phrase, then we have a little interlude with trumpets and timpani. And he often in the Christmas oratorio has the closing chorale sort of reflect the music that he used for the opening movement, the very introductory music at the beginning of the segment for today's program was from that first opening movement, and it's loud and fast and has trumpet and drums. When Bach uses trumpet and drums in his music, he often uses that when there's a royal context. To say this is, you know, the king, you know, Christ is the king. And so here there's this juxtaposition of Christ in the manger, you know, Jesus, holy child, and often we hear this very quiet, reflective, but then here's the interludes, trumpet and drums, the child in the manger, the child for us is also our king.
Thank you.
One of the chorales from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio, Ah, My Darling Baby Jesus. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, as we look at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Now, I want to put a fine point on this because there's something that Bach is trying to do here, as you mentioned before the break musically. It would be a clever juxtaposition, just in terms of the music, to do something like this, to have these, the loudest of the instruments at the cradle of the baby Jesus. But again, what is he saying theologically there?
Right. Well, I think it's also this kind of, you know, it's the hiddenness of God that you see, you know, at first glance, one only sees, you know, a child in the manger and in the straw, and it's surrounded in these lowly surroundings, much like the music starts very simply. But hidden, you know, inside that, I think maybe Bach musically and theologically starts to draw the curtain back just a little bit for us to see. And that's what a theologically informed composer in the church can do, is help us see that truth of God. Now, see, it's more than what meets the eye. This is our God in the manger.
Now, the next part that we're going to listen to is a different has a different function, so to speak, in the oratorio. We've talked about the chorale. What is a recitative?
Yeah, a recitative is simply a musical form where a soloist is singing, you know, a lot of text and sort of telling the story that way. A lot of the recitatives in the cantatas or the oratorios are the scripture texts. You know, this is prose. There's a lot of text that is presented in, you know, a short period of time, typically. And it's where we get the word recite from, recitative. It's based in the same word. There's also recitatives that use non-scriptural text, and some of this theological poetry is presented that way, often sort of to set up then a longer song, an aria that the soloist will sing. And this example that we're going to listen to is an example where the bass soloist, in fact, is singing, sort of addressing the shepherds to go and see the child in the manger. The context for this is in the second part of the oratorios for the second day of Christmas, where the story about the angels coming to the shepherds is told. And after the verse from Luke 2, where the angel says, "This will be a sign to you, you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger," there's a chorale is sung, and then a bass solo, recitative, sort of unpacks that a little bit more, saying, "Go to the manger there, shepherds, and what will you see? You'll see, you know, the Son of God in the manger being rocked to sleep." And what a creative musical thing that Bach employs here is when he gets to the point where the soloist sings, "You'll find the baby in the manger," as he's being rocked there. You'll hear the music changes, and the music is rocking back and forth, and you hear that in the orchestra. That's one of the things that a musician can help explain a text using musical tools at the musician's disposal, and I think this is a good example of how Bach puts that to work.
Here it is from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. So then go forth, you shepherds, go.
Findet ihr des Süßen Sohn in einer harten Krippe liegen? So singet ihm als einer wiegend aus einem süßen Ton und mit gesamtem Ton. Dies ist vor
Cantor Hildebrand, is part of what Bach is attempting to do here is kind of construct the musical nativity scene, but more than that, not just for display, but to draw the worshiper in to that scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a real strong point of the Christmas oratorio, again, like many of Bach's cantatas, is it tells a story. It gives the scriptural narrative. It has recitatives and other examples that sort of expound on that text a little bit. We have chorales that reflect that. And then there's also many places where an aria will sort of apply this, you know, to the Christian's life. And I think there's many examples in here where there is the message of comfort and peace given to the Christian church, to the individual Christian. One example that I'm thinking of is in the fourth part of the Christmas oratorio. This is for the New Year's Day, or the circumcision of our Lord, where it starts out, really it spends very little time with the verses about that from Luke, where Jesus is brought to the temple and he's given his name, and most of that cantata focuses on, now let's reflect on the name of Christ and what does this mean for the Christian. There's a great aria in that part of the oratorio where a soprano is singing this aria about the name of Jesus and saying, is that something that's going to make you know, the Christian afraid? No. In fact, Bach underscores that with the soprano sings, you know, these words, no, or nein in German. And then those same musical notes are echoed by an oboe in the orchestra. And then oftentimes there's a singer, another singer somewhere else in the church, like way in the back balcony, and that singer echoes it again. So you hear this word, this answer, this of this rhetorical question, that the name of Christ doesn't bring fear, but it brings comfort. The flip side of that same aria, saying that, well, so what does this mean for the Christian and my life and my death? Should I be afraid of death? No. Because Jesus is there with me, and he says to me, yes. And the flip side to that is you know, in German, ja, and you hear the singer sing ja, and then the instrument echoes that those same notes, and you hear a singer way in the back of the church echo it. And that is just about as personal as the message you can get when it's talking about my own life, my own death, and what that means. Everything is changed because of Jesus' birth.
Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. We're talking about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday, December the 26th. He's associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, we're going to hear the angels singing. Stay tuned.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, etc.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio with Cantor Kevin Hildebrand of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Folks, if you appreciate sacred Christmas music, be sure to listen during the final 11 days of Christmas. It's just the beginning of the season, you know. And at LutheranPublicRadio.org, we observe the Christmas season through the church's sacred music. That means beginning with Christmas Eve, we have been playing this Christmas music for the entire 12 days of Christmas, the entire Christmas season. Now, the music that you've been hearing in the world out there started about Halloween with pop Christian, well, sometimes Christian, but pop Christmas music. At Lutheran Public Radio, it's the church's music according to the church's year. You can listen absolutely free 24/7. If you want to listen 24/7 for 12 solid days, that's what you'll get. Sacred music for the world at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Kendra Hildebrand, the next thing we're going to hear are the angels singing the very familiar words from Luke's text. What should we be listening for here?
Well, there's a lot of things always to listen for in Bach's music. I will break down a couple things to point out. First of all, I think this may be one of the texts of Scripture that's been set the most often by composers, and perhaps is sung the most often by Christians. I mean, we sing this text in the Divine Service, in the Glory in Excelsis, when we sing glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth, glory be to God on high. Lots of hymns have been paraphrased from this text, and Bach includes this, of course, in his Christmas oratorio, and fittingly so, it begins with, it's glorious, it's big, it's the angel, you know, multitude singing, and it's exceedingly joyful and very enjoyable to listen to. When the text, however, goes to "and peace on earth," it takes what I think is kind of a surprising turn. I think what is a sort of a common worldly definition of peace is, you know, the lack of turmoil, you know, lack of conflict. You know, there's lots of sermons that have, you know, expounded on this idea of you know, what does peace mean in the church? You know, peace not as the world gives. And I think Bach brings that out a little bit in his music with this text. Yes, it gets a little softer when we hear this example. It starts out big, kind of big, fast, and loud, which is always fun. But then when we get to the "and peace on earth," it's a little softer. But instead of just being, you know, quiet and tranquil and placid, the music is kind of turbulent. It's a little chromatic, meaning there's lots of sharps and a key change in there. It moves into a minor key, which, you know, sometimes we might think, well, that doesn't seem appropriate to sing about a piece there. It's kind of, you know, turbulent and darker than we would expect. And I think this is, again, another theological statement that Bach is making. You know, the peace that Christ brings is a peace unlike the world gives, and it comes about in a way that the world wouldn't expect. It comes through Christ's own suffering and death and his passion. And that is, I think, reflected in that musical change that happens in the music. That happens two times as Bach goes through this text from Luke 2 in this music, going to that "and peace on earth," where it gets quieter and a little more chromatic.
Cantor Hildebrandt, is Bach doing something here by stretching out what is essentially, you know, if you look at the actual text, about 15 seconds if you just read through it, if mm-hmm. you took your time reading through it, to almost 2.5 minutes? Is he saying something about the importance of this? Is he saying something about its place in the oratorio?
Well, sure. And that's one of the things that can be done musically that can't be done, for instance, just reading a text or you know, speaking the words over and over. But a composer, and particularly with theological insight, can bring that out. And sometimes a text is repeated, and it's following. There's a musical pattern that the composer is trying to bring out. That it's going into this key, and then it's going into that key, and music wants to take the sort of modulation, you know, through various keys, and then the composer will treat a section of the text differently to bring out the meaning, either a literal meaning or a theological reflection of that text. And And I think that's one very positive thing about well-written church music, is that it helps us hear that text even many times, but the composer is treating that text over and over to help us hear that in a meaningful way.
We'll take another break, and we'll come back 10 more minutes on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest, associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also director of the youth choir and St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Streaming 24/7 sacred music and talk stations from a 500 square foot office in Collinsville, Illinois. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday, December the 26th. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. Folks, we need your help, and you can help us educate a new generation of Lutherans in 2014 by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's that address again. Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us in the waning days of 2013 and into 2014, especially when you consider your year-end giving. I got a question for you, because a lot of people really love Bach. This time of the year, they might put the CD in and play it around the house. Is it intended as is background music, Cantor Hildebrand?
Well, I always am rejoicing when people are playing and listening to Bach in any capacity. But I think it's even more meaningful and important if there's an opportunity to do some active listening to the music with the text readily available. For instance, all these examples we've been listening to are recordings, and the text is in its original German. And for those of us who are not fluent in German, or even have any clue what that's about, to have a translation right there reveals some of these examples that we're talking about. You hear, oh, the music got quieter there. Oh, well, it's reflecting what the text is singing about right there. So I think to have, whether it's the CD, a liner notes or something from a reputable website that has good translations of those texts, or while we're hearing the evangelist singing these words of scripture, I'm hearing it sung in a foreign language, but I know these verses, from Luke 2, or I know this hymn. I'm hearing it in its original languages, but I know that this hymn already, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, or From Heaven Above to Earth I Come, and I can see the text in its English translation, and that makes it all the much more meaningful for the listener to sort of have an active view of what am I listening to at this point.
The oratorio concludes with a chorale appropriate to Bach's way of doing things. Mm-hmm. This one, Now Be You Avenged, doesn't sound at the beginning like it fits at the end of a Christmas oratorio. Set it up for us, if you would.
Right. Well, this, of course, is in the sixth part, which is written for the day of Epiphany. And really the focus of this section is Herod and the wise men. And it's really not so much about the wise men and the gifts and these great treasures, but really a lot of the poetic text, reflection, and then the chorales that are chosen to go around that talk about the enemies of Christ and the church, such as Herod. This closing chorale talks about these same enemies of Christ and the church. And this literal translation that you were reading about, you are avenged, you about you're avenged from all your foes. Who it's addressing is you the Christians. It's a plural pronoun here in the German, saying you, the church, you have been avenged. All of these foes, and they go on to they're named here in this chorale: death, devil, sin, and hell. Christ has shattered. In researching this a little bit more, one sort of colorful translation of the German word is pulverized. Christ has pulverized these enemies for you, so that now man's place is next to God. And this is a remarkably powerful text. And just like we heard in that first example, way back on Christmas Day, Bach uses the tune to O Sacred Head Now Wounded again. And because that's the cross that chorale makes us think of, that's how Christ pulverizes, destroys these enemies of the church. And now, instead of hearing sort of a quiet, somber setting of this O Sacred Head Now Wounded tune with this powerful text, again, Bach gives us sort of this musical sort of unveiling a little bit, where there's this magnificent trumpet solo in between the phrases of this chorale. It's a chorale of power and might. That's Christ's power and might hidden in the cross. The music starts to reveal that a little bit.
Thank you.
Cantor Hildebrand, your final thoughts here on Bach's Christmas Oratorio with about a minute and a half.
Sure. Well, I always rejoice in having an opportunity myself to even reflect on the music and the text of this great work. There's always opportunities to discover new insights on that. Kind of like, you know, that's what makes the hymns of the church so wonderful, that we never outgrow them. That's what makes, you know, every year we go, we hear the same Christmas story, but there's always more to be said. There's always more to be sung. There's always more to preach about. There's always more that can be unpacked. And likewise with the music of the church, and particularly with Bach's music, I also think that it helps us, we're reminded that the music of the church is so much more than just something in the background or filler or something to fill the time, but it's so much more than it is proclamation, it's confession. In the Reformation, they called it the living voice of the gospel, and indeed it is. And so in the hands of theologically astute composers, the song of the church, you know, really blossoms. And when the church can proclaim the same truth, you know, from both its preaching and its teaching and in its music, the church is really blessed when that happens. And Bach is a master of giving those examples to us.
Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and Director of the Youth Choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cantor Hildebrand, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to begin a three-part teaching with Dr. John Seleska on the promises of God. We're going to be going through the promises of God to the patriarchs, the prophets, and then the promises fulfilled in the New Testament. Also tomorrow, we will discuss Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation with Dr. Joseph Hurl. That'll be very interesting. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December is very appropriate for the season. When was Jesus really born? It comes from Concordia Publishing House, and you can find out more about this great scholarly work on the ancient calendars and the date of Jesus' birth at our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues, Etc. right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues, Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. IssuesETC.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.